Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving podcast. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, President and CEO of Southern Caregiver Resource Center, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rañón, Director of Public Relations and Government Affairs.
Hey, Roberto.
How are you?
Good.
Today, we have a very special guest, Kimberly McGee. She's an attorney from the law offices of Black & McGee. Kimberly is a probate attorney. She specializes in working with older adults, wills, trusts, powers of attorney. She's also one of SCRC's board of directors and is one of four certified elder law attorneys in San Diego County. Welcome.
Thank you, Roberta. Thank you, Martha, for having me.
So great to see you.
So we're thrilled that you're here because we want to talk about the importance of long-term care planning, especially when you are a family caregiver. I know that long-term planning is very important because it sets forth our terms for how we want to handle our person, make decisions about our lives, as well as our finances. And it's during a time when we're well. It's also becomes important when we become incapacitated. And then even upon death, because we're able to give plans for what we want in the future. So thank you, Kimberly, for joining us.
You're welcome. And I would like to share, when you say I'm an elder law attorney, nobody knows what that means. Uh-huh. It really has nothing to do with being elderly. It has everything to do with planning for long-term care, planning for somebody with a disability, planning for your own disability.
Oh, good to know.
Yes. You know, there's so many different, when we talk about long-term care, it's a very, very broad topic. There's long-term care services, which include assisted living communities and adult daycare programs and in-home services. There's also very important legal documents that some are you have to work with an attorney. Some of them you can actually buy at a stationery store and implement. I was wondering if you could share some of that, Kim.
So your basic tools for creating an estate plan include your long-term care planning. So every person on earth, when you turned 18, what happened to you? You lost the ability to make decisions for you, or somebody stopped making decisions for you. You turned 18, you're an adult. That was the day you needed your powers of attorney. In California, we have two types. We have one for money, so the durable power of attorney, which would be your durable power for asset management, or you have the power of attorney for healthcare, which we now call the Advanced Healthcare Directive. That document is where is who you define who will make your healthcare choices, who will talk to your doctor, who will talk to the pharmacy, who will decide where you live when you can't decide for yourself. And so you need to always think about, are those two people the same people? Is the money manager in your life the same person that can talk to your doctor? That's a personal decision, and everybody needs that at a minimum. Putting those in place will allow for your decision-making to be upheld while you no longer can.
That is so interesting, Kim, because how many of us really thought about that when we turned 18?
And not me.
Exactly. That's how we're driving. However, this is so important because I come across a lot of caregivers who have no idea where to begin. This is so daunting. How do I start? So how would you tell caregivers where it is that they should start?
I would want a caregiver to start with making an appointment with an attorney who does elder law in particular, or who focuses on long-term care planning. Somebody who understands not just planning for death, but planning for when you're alive. Mm. You can do that. If you feel like going to an attorney is too much, it's too expensive, there are, you can Google powers of attorney. All of your healthcare providers, your big hospitals, those places have the Advanced Healthcare Directive. You don't have to see an attorney for that.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Kaiser in particular, I know, has a very good one. Scripps also has a really good one that they use. It's very expansive because a power of attorney for healthcare is just not who's going to pull my plug. It's a, what do I do if I get sick? Where do I want to live? How expansive do I want my medical decisions to? If I have dementia and I get pneumonia, will I want treatment?
Wow.
How detailed do you want to get? And certain advanced healthcare directives are more detailed. It's not just pull the plug.
And I think that's the myth that's out there, that that's just what it is, and that there are so many different levels of thought processes that have to go into a healthcare directive.
Absolutely. And In fact, I run into families all the time, or individuals all the time, who say, I don't have an estate. I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. I'm barely getting by. I work, I pay my bills, and, you know, I have a mortgage and that's it. I mean, what do you tell people? Because everybody should have at least an advanced directive. But what do you tell people who think they probably don't need to talk to somebody?
What I tell people, if they have a mortgage, then you have an estate. Number one.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
If you own a home, you need to speak with an attorney. Number one, you want to talk to an attorney about a trust, because you want to avoid probate. That's for your heirs, because, you know, mm-hmm. most of the time I do make the inappropriate joke, what do you care? You'll be dead. But you do love your heirs. So you want to avoid probate, which is expensive and time consuming. But something new that happened January 1st of 2017 is we want to protect that house from any type of Medi-Cal recovery. Mm. So if you are in need of long-term care and you receive it in a skilled nursing facility, Medi-Cal is going to want back from your estate what they paid in, but they can only collect now from your probate estate. So if you put your home in a trust, they can't collect it. Mm. So it's a safe place to put it. Plus, it allows for continuity of what happens when you no longer can care for yourself.
Right.
It allows for you to decide who's going to manage it, how they're going to manage it. Because let's face it, we're all going to live in our home till we die. Or at least we hope so. That's mm-hmm. everyone's
that's
plan.
The ideal.
That's the idea. Absolutely.
That's the plan. It generally doesn't work. But if you can, you need to make sure the person in the home who's going to be the care provider, your caregiver, the person who's going to manage your estate, in quotes, let's say, because it may just be your home and a little bit of Social Security coming in and maybe a pension from some railroad that somebody worked on. Mm-hmm. That's the situation where you really need to focus. How do we preserve it? How do we maximize what's available? You know, there's so many public benefits available to keep people in their home. It is California's policy to keep people out of institutions.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They have mm-hmm. the IHSS benefits for low-income families who are eligible to Medi-Cal. There's in our county, and SCRC has many of these contacts, we have the Older Americans Act Family Care Support Program, where we're able to work with family caregivers through our family consultants and help them plan out, develop plans, do assessments, connect them to resources. There's adult daycare programs out there. There's a number of in-home care providers. But I think one of the things that's really interesting that I was reading the other day is that about 70% of people incorrectly think that Medicare will cover their long-term care in a skilled nursing facility.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're talking right now, that's what triggered that thought of mine right now, is that when families are, many of them will end up possibly in a skilled nursing facility, and they will have to qualify for Medi-Cal, because unless they're very, very wealthy, that's the only type of government benefit that covers that kind of care.
Well, let me tell you what I just told my 9 o'clock appointment this morning. This is what it's going to look like. If you end up in the hospital for something, let's say a broken hip, some sort of stroke, something that leaves you there for 3 days, your Medicare will kick in and you will be discharged to a skilled nursing facility.
Mm-hmm.
When that is happening, your loved one, your caregiver, should be looking at each of the skilled nursing facilities that the hospital's provided. There's somebody called the discharge planner.
Yes.
They sometimes call themselves social workers. Watch out. They're really the billing department.
Good to know.
They will provide you with a list of open beds. And you need to go through those beds and look at which facilities you want your loved one to stay in. You want to compare and make sure they take Medicare mm-hmm. and Medi-Cal. Medi-Cal facilities are not scary, all these scary little places. I won't say exactly who, but one of the most expensive one in San Diego County does take Medi-Cal, just so you know. They don't want me advertising it, but they do. The idea, though, is you get discharged. Medicare is going to pay for 1 to 20 days at 100% and 21 to 100 days at 80%. And your supplement is going to pay the difference, but with a copay. And it's usually around $150 a day as your copay. So during that time is when people come to me in crisis saying, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. what do we do? And that's the time when, if you're married, we start talking about how do we protect the well spouse's estate. Your home is protected, $128,000
vehicles,
or so.
Correct?
One vehicle per right. family. But you get a certain amount of money, and it's not just for low income. It right. Your income is almost irrelevant. We'll do a math problem, but you can get it. And so some people, unfortunately, may never come home from the skilled nursing.
You're talking about me, Kim, when I was going through that as a caregiver with my great aunt. And it is so stressful because you're in that moment of she's going to be discharged and I have to look at all these facilities. And it's there's so much information out there that I feel like almost having someone that can guide you through that process is what's needed.
And I think what's really interesting is the topic of, you know, your example of what you're telling somebody, you know, you might need, if you fall, you hurt yourself, you get placed from hospital to a rehab or nursing home for a little while. And I think a lot of people have this perception that it's not going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen to them.
We all hope for the heart attack in the middle of the night.
Right? Asleep.
But the reality is, again, more statistics. The reality is that 70% of individuals turning 65 are going to use some form of long-term care. Some form of long-term care. That's a very high percentage. And so the need to prepare, to have a plan, to have the advanced directive, these are all very important because it's not, you know, just for people who develop Alzheimer's or dementia, but you could have something happen on your drive home, you know. And as unfortunate as that, if you have your advanced directive, if you have things in place, well, it's a lot easier for those who have to step in and make decisions.
It is. I mean, this is not a situation, it's not an old people problem. You know, I have a client, 43 years old. He was taking care of his mother who had dementia. He was on his fourth year. He came in, he had a stroke.
Oh, wow.
43 years old.
Wow.
I've had clients who go out to get the newspaper in their driveway at 5 o'clock in the morning, 30 years old, get hit by a drunk driver. You know, situations, your age is irrelevant to the fact that you can become incapacitated.
That's very true.
And so what you want to do is you want to stay in control. You want to have that plan. The clients this morning, I said, once you're in that skilled nursing, what's your goal? They want to go home. I said, okay, how much money do you have? Okay, who's going to be the caregiver? Who's going to provide this for you? Mm-hmm. And if you want to stay in control, you need to tell me what it looks like. And then you need to tell them what it looks like. Your loved ones, your potential caregivers, how much you want to pay, where you want to live. Do you need to start looking at communities early so you can stay in control?
Right. You know, this reminds me a lot of my family situation after my dad passed away, and then my mom, all five of us adult siblings were helping provide support for her. Not a lot of caregiving right at the beginning, but mm-hmm. support. And it took us about 2 years actually to get her to put together a trust, mm-hmm. which included an advanced directive, and then we funded everything into the, or I think is that the term, you fund everything into the name of the trust?
Correct.
Otherwise, it's just kind of sitting out there anyways, right?
It's worth the paper it's written on unless it has something in it.
That's right. But what was really, I think, important. And finally, she was, I don't know that this is the sole decision for her, but it was really important for her to understand that even if you're paying money up front to create these types of documents, like a trust, maybe it might be anywhere $3,500 to $5,000. If you don't do that, and it could be even more, I'm not sure.
Or less,
but which is great to know. If you don't, and you lose capacity, you lose control. And in order for somebody to manage your person, your decisions, and or your finances, which is called your estate, regardless of how much money you have to go through probate, get a conservatorship on the individual. And now, not only did you lose control, it's a public matter because it's in court and there's public hearings and anybody and everybody can find out about it. So it's no longer private, as well as the fees can be extremely high.
I like to tell people that failing to plan is actually making a plan yourself. Your plan is just to follow the state of California's plan. Because you chose not to plan, the state of California has created a plan for you.
So they will take care of that planning.
They will take care of that planning. The problem you have is, again, so imagine the situation. You're in the hospital. What have we all come across lately? HIPAA, mm-hmm. right? HIPAA's been around for a very long time. They're finally starting to enforce it. So if you're in a crisis situation, a hospital's going to talk to your next of kin. But when the crisis is over, they will not talk to you anymore. HIPAA prevents it. The hospital is going to say, go get a court order unless you have an advanced healthcare directive. Mm-hmm. So a court order means filing for conservatorship. Even if somebody's unconscious, I tell people it can be a $5,000 process. Even if nothing, it's clear nobody's going to object, everybody's in agreement, you still have a minimum amount of money that you're going to spend. Now it's going to take a couple weeks, possibly a couple months. What's happening to you in the meantime? Mm-hmm. If you are a person that doesn't want to have extraordinary measures, you're a pull the plug kind of person, mm-hmm. you will stay alive under all circumstances until your body naturally goes. And the doctors will do everything. So if you want a plan and if you have a system in place, if you have an idea of what you want, you have to get it in writing.
Right. Very important. I know. We've seen extreme cases of that in the public that
absolutely. There's so many cases.
And that's the reality. There are our judges. We have three very, very good judges. They have had a lot of experience in this. They will share about stories about a gentleman being deemed incapacitated, traumatic brain injury, no ability to ever recover. Well, they went in for a conservatorship. They asked the judge for power to pull the plug on him. The judge just said, you know what, I'm not sure, give me 30 more days. Continue the hearing. Mm-hmm. 30 days later, the man they were talking about pulling the plug walked into that courtroom. As a result of that reaction, being told to kill somebody, and him actually being able to recover, despite the fact that all doctors said he couldn't, our judges have a tendency under all circumstances to fight for your right to live. Mm. Mm. And so controlling and writing these things down and putting the right person in place. An advanced healthcare directive is your wishes. You define who will make your choices in a hospital, in a medical crisis, but you define your wishes. It's not a court order. It just defines what you would like, how much treatment. So you need to consider, am I putting the person who will follow my wishes? Mm-hmm. You know, you can't, it's not just the caregiving daughter. It's not just the firstborn son. It's the person who will follow your wishes. And your wishes are going to change. So my parents, they had advanced healthcare directives. I made them get them. but they were opposites. My dad was a cut off my head and freeze it. I know they will find a cure for what ail me kind of guy. And my mom was, you know, push me off of the roof of the hospital if I get a hangnail. Uh-huh. They were just different.
Right.
And over time, though, their choices changed. Mm. Right. So 2 months before my dad died, we were on the way home from a dinner on the Midway. You know, he was a docent and he just wasn't feeling well. And he said, you know, I want you to know, I know you always make a joke, I'm a cut off my head and freeze it kind of guy, but I don't want to live as an invalid. I don't want anybody wiping me. I don't want to be a burden. I don't want certain things. And he was very descriptive.
Right.
And 2 months later, I had to make the choice to stop treatment on him.
Yeah.
And I knew what he wanted. Mm-hmm. Versus my mom, who again pushed me off the roof of the hospital. 35 days before she died, she said, Kimmy, I want to live. I want to meet my grandbaby. I want to get to know my only granddaughter. And she was going to be born 3 weeks later. And her choices changed. So I had to get in a fight with my brothers because they said she would not want treatment. She would not want treatment. But she communicated her wishes to the proper decision maker.
Well, and I think that's really important to know. And I know that when at Southern Caregiver Resource Center here, when a family carer becomes one of our clients and they're meeting with their family consultant, some of the first questions, as I mentioned earlier, they ask in the assessment is questions about placement, questions about long-term care planning. Does that individual, are they a veteran? are, what kind of income they have. And those questions are not to be intrusive, but to try to help them figure out what resources they can go to get different types of eligibility, different types of benefits. I know that once you develop a plan, you need to review it every so often, because as the conditions change, as time changes, it's part of the people around you, circumstances, everything changes as well.
You do. You need to reach out to family consultants. I mean, one of the things I love most about SCRC is the fact that they will help people guide the process.
Yes.
And it's a hard conversation. So finding a guide, wherever Absolutely. That guide can be.
We're here for you.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank Martha for co-hosting and sharing her stories in another stimulating discussion about caregiving.
Always a pleasure to be here.
And our special guest, Kimberly McGee from the Law Office of Black and McGee.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to remind our audience that if you are providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. Follow us on Facebook for more podcasts. SCRC is a nonprofit. We provide services due to the generosity of our donors and community partners. If you want to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website and click on the donate button. And remember, SCRC is here for you.
Caring for those who care for others.
Thank you.